2 Kings chapter 12, verse 1. Here now, the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. In the 7th year of Jehu, Jehoash began to reign, and 40 years reigned he in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Zibiah of Beersheba. And Jehoash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all his days, wherein Jehoiada the priest instructed him. But the high places were not taken away. The people still sacrificed and burnt incense in the high places. And Jehoash said to the priests, "All the money of the dedicated things that is brought into the house of the Lord, even the money of every one that passeth the account, the money that every man set at, and all the money that cometh into any man's heart to bring into the house of the Lord, let the priests take it to them, every man of his acquaintance, and let them repair the breaches of the house, wheresoever any breach shall be found." But it was so that in the 23rd year of King Jehoash, the priests had not repaired the breaches of the house. Then King Jehoash called for Jehoiada the priest and the other priests, and said unto them, "Why repair ye not the breaches of the house? Now therefore receive no more money of your acquaintance, but deliver it for the breaches of the house." And the priests consented to receive no more money of the people, neither to repair the breaches of the house. But Jehoiada the priest took a chest and bored a hole in the lid of it, and set it beside the altar on the right side, as one cometh into the house of the Lord. And the priests that kept the door put therein all the money that was brought into the house of the Lord. And it was so, when they saw that there was much money in the chest, that the king's scribe and the high priest came up, and they put up in bags and told the money that was found in the house of the Lord. And they gave the money, being told, into the hands of them that did the work, that had the oversight of the house of the Lord, and they laid it out to the carpenters and builders that wrought upon the house of the Lord, and to masons and hewers of stone, and to buy timber and hewed stone, to repair the breaches of the house of the Lord, and for all that was laid out for the house to repair it. Howbeit, there was not made for the house of the Lord bowls of silver, snuffers, basins, trumpets, any vessels of gold, or vessels of silver, of the money that was brought into the house of the Lord. But they gave that to the workmen, and repaired therewith the house of the Lord. Moreover, they reckoned not with the men into whose hand they delivered the money to be bestowed on workmen, for they dealt faithfully. The trespass money and sin money was not brought into the house of the Lord, it was the priests. Then Hazael, king of Syria, went up and fought against Gath and took it. And Hazael set his face to go up to Jerusalem. And Jehoash, king of Judah, took all the hallowed things that Jehoshaphat and Jehoram and Ahaziah, his fathers, kings of Judah, had dedicated, and his own hallowed things, and all the gold that was found in the treasures of the house of the Lord and in the king's house, and sent it to Hazael, king of Syria, and he went away from Jerusalem. And the rest of the acts of Joash, and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And his servants arose and made a conspiracy, and slew Joash in the house of Milo, which goeth down to Silla. For Jozachar, the son of Shimeat, and Jehozabad, the son of Shomer, his servant, smote him that he died. And they buried him with his fathers in the city of David, and Amaziah, his son, reigned in his stead. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. 2 Kings does not give us the entire story of Jehoiada and Joash. The rest of the story you'll find in 2 Chronicles chapter 24. If you want to write that down, read it later on today. It'll fill in some of the details that the inspired author was not given to put in this particular chapter. We do see, however, the difficulty of depending upon men for your religious feeling, your religious practice. This is something that we must have in our commitments unto the Lord and not unto men. Now, it may be better to live under, you know, or within a society of people that give us good and godly examples, and we are driven by those examples to follow after those examples. That may be better for us than to live as reprobates. But in the final analysis, God must be our portion. And the problem with Jehoash or Joash here is that all of the days of the life of Jehoiada, while Jehoiada the priest was alive, Jehoash was well instructed, and he followed the word of Jehoiada, and it seems that there may have been a little bit of a controversy between them in the building, the repairing of the breaches in the Lord's house, because when he asked them, when he told them, commanded them to leave off taking in offerings for that, that Jehoiada took a box and drilled a hole in it, set it by the side of the altar, and sort of clandestinely, if you will, kept taking offerings, just not in the same manner. So it may be that there was a bit of tension between them over that Jehoash did not think the temple of the Lord was being repaired as quickly as it ought to have been repaired. I'm inclined in my own mind to trust Jehoiada greater than Jehoash in that, and that if Jehoiada said it's not quite time to build because we're not ready, we don't have enough funds yet, or whatever it was, I'm inclined to trust him and not the impatience of Jehoash at that point. But all of the days of the life of Jehoiada, it seems that Jehoash is faithful, although the writer does tell us that the high places were not torn down. The people still sacrificed and burnt incense on the high places. Now you need to understand that when the people went up there to burn incense and to sacrifice animals, that in many cases they were not sacrificing unto devils, unto false gods, unto idols, but they thought they were worshiping the Lord in those high places. And so it was a very religious experience for them, right? Privately speaking, it was a wonderful feeling. It was a, as someone told me when we were looking at churches a while back, and I visited this one place where they were having some worship services. It was an adjunct off of a church that is being rebuilt at the present time because it's fallen into disrepair. There's this adjunct building to it, and the lady that showed me the place said, "Oh, we've had some beautiful services here." Yeah. I know what that means. It means that they were personally moving to you. So it was personally moving to the people that offered incense and sacrificed animals on the high places. But God wasn't moved a bit in pleasure. He had told them where to burn incense, and he had told them where to offer sacrifices. And when we begin worshiping in ways that are acceptable to us and for our pleasures, we usurp to ourselves an authority that does not belong. We are at God's pleasure. We serve at His pleasure. And by serve there, I mean the Greek word latria. We serve Him. We worship Him. We do those religious acts of service at His pleasure and not our own. And meaningfulness is not a gauge, because we can be inspired to meaningfulness in error. That's not a gauge. God's Word and His commandments, that's the gauge. And let us find our meaningfulness there. Let's find it there. All right, so they go through and they are rebuilding the house, which is a commendable thing. And perhaps Jehoash's impatience is somewhat commendable, but I think it's based on his lack of understanding. It's in his 23rd year of being king, so he is still a young man at this point. He's, you know, in his early 30s. Jehoiada is a seasoned priest of the Lord, and rather than coming to Jehoiada and questioning and coming to him by way of entreaty, because it is, after all, a separate office to repair the house of the Lord, it can come at the command of the king, and the king can provide for it without a doubt, and Jehoiada can be that nursing father to the church, but he is not the architect and not the builder. That was to be done by the priests and overseen by them. Oh, it's terrible. I hate it when I do that. Okay, so we move on down then to Hazael in verse 17. Notice that Hazael rises up and fights against Gath. He takes Gath, and then he puts Joash under tribute. What this text here doesn't tell us is, and what 2 Chronicles 24 does tell us, is that this is after the death of Jehoiada. And after the death of Jehoiada, the wheels fall off as far as Joash is concerned and his righteousness, his adhering to the commands of Yahweh. As soon as Jehoiada dies, the wheels fall off of that for him. And so he turns aside. And the Lord raises up Hazael to chastise him. And they take all the rest of the precious things out of the house of the Lord, and he leaves Jerusalem. And there is a conspiracy formed by those around him, and they slay him for his wickedness. The lesson there, brothers and sisters, is that we must finish strong. It will not do you one whit of good to start out strong and finish poorly. We must finish strong. We must finish faithful. We must be faithful to the end of our days. And Joash here is a glaring reminder that if our eyes are fixed on anything but the Lord Jesus Christ, we will not persevere, because He's the only thing that endures. Even the greatness of a man like Jehoiada will eventually wear out. And if our trust and faith and all of our allegiance is placed in pleasing Jehoiada while he's alive, well, okay, but he's going to die. And where then will be your strength to follow through on the ways of Yahweh? It won't be there. So our eyes must be upon Christ. That's why the writer tells us, and I know I go back to Hebrews 12 a lot, I think it's just such a seminal passage. You know, seed. Seminal. Seed. In that we are to fix our eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Not upon the sin and the weight which doth so easily beset us. Not, let's lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Any other focus will wear out. Any other focus will crumble down and fall. We must finish stronger than we began. We must grow in grace the entirety of our lives. For the failure to grow is only to slide back. There is no stasis in the Christian life. Thus ends the reading then of 2 Kings chapter 12. Let's stand and continue praising God in the singing of Psalms, Psalm 143, verses 8 through 12, page 323 in your